Please be seated. So I'm tempted to talk about the trip, but I'm not going to do that. We're going to have some time later, a celebration and sharing a little bit of our photos. But today we're on the last Sunday of our year. The church year goes off from the civil year, and our ending is today. And it's an old tradition, not an old tradition, started in 1925 in the Roman Catholic Church to call this Sunday Christ the King, or the Reign of Christ Sunday. And it's interesting, it was created by the Roman Catholic Church in 1925, right in between the time between the two wars. It was after the First World War, the Second World War, the rise of totalitarian regimes, nationalist, fascist, communist government. It was a very convoluted time. And Pope Pius XI created this feast of Christ the King. And we adopted it together with many other churches in the Protestant tradition and celebrate this at the end of the liturgical year. What I would like to focus is the idea of what do we say, what do we think when we talk about the reign of Christ or Christ the King? What does it do to you, if anything? We don't have kings, first of all, right? So it's a problematic word in itself. So it's putting him above. It focuses a lot. And it's interesting, the lectionary has two names for it. Christ the King, but the other one is the reign of Christ. And that is what I would like to focus on. It is not so much Christ, yes, Christ is, but Christ himself, if he would hear this, it's not to focus so much on me. We are here to focus on the dream of God. And for me, I would like to talk about that. As we celebrate the reign of Christ, what we are celebrating and pushing ourselves and challenging ourselves to wonder and to dream, what is the dream of God for our world? And that is what I think the dream of God is, the kingdom, the reign of God. We heard a mysterious figure in the book of Daniel, one like a human being coming up with the clouds of heaven, given dominion and glory and kingship. We heard from the psalm, the Lord is King. We heard the revelation of John, also echoes of that vision of Daniel, the prophet, presenting us Jesus as the human figure that is the ruler, the king of the earth. And then we end up with the Gospel of John. And who is the king in the Gospel of John? A man who is about to be killed, a man who is condemned, a prisoner, tortured, full of spit, and will be soon put up on a cross. And that is what John is saying. That is the king we are following. It is a paradox. It is a turning around of all that we think, and is saying, you think kingship is this? That is the king. The one who is from below, the one who is rejected, abandoned, oppressed, spit upon, the one who's rejected, that's the king. And you will find the king there where you least expect it. I had a professor of mine who said, there's some biblical scholars who always debate what are the true words of Jesus. And he says, they had one professor who was very, very skeptical. And he says, I only think there were two words that Jesus said that I'm sure about them. One was Abba, which is dad, this familiar sense of calling God in this familiar way. And the other one was kingdom, the reign of God. So those were the two words I think Jesus really said. If we ask Jesus what was his message, he really didn't preach much about himself. He was not too much focused on him. What was his message? If you say, Jesus, summarize your message. What do you wanted to communicate to us? He would have said, the kingdom of God is here. Open your eyes. It's here around us. That is the message that Jesus wanted to emphasize over and over again. This is the summary. This is the essence of what I want to teach. This reign of God. And what does it mean? I think he captured it in his first sermon. He had gone back after his baptism to Nazareth. And Luke has this story. He goes up to the synagogue, as a good Jew as he was. He stands up, and Luke tells the story this way. The synagogue assistant gave Jesus the scroll from the prophet Isaiah. Jesus unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus then rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the synagogue assistant, and sat down. Every eye on the synagogue was fixed on him, and he began to explain to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled just as you heard it." I think that's the summary of what Jesus wanted to communicate. The freedom of the oppressed, the good news to the poor, the blind receive sight, and the Lord's year, which was an interesting thing. The Lord's year was every 25 years or every 50 years, anyone who had debts were forgiven. That is the Lord's year. It was the Jubilee. It was the day when anyone who had a debt, that was forgiven. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is this, and it's happening today. God's reign is not something in the future. God's kingdom is not someday that we're going to get little wings and we're going to get a golden harp and we're going to be floating on pillows of cloud. The kingdom of God begins here, already, in our midst. Jesus said in Luke 17, God's kingdom is already among you. Or in the Gospel of Thomas, beautifully what it says, the kingdom is inside you and it is outside of you. The dream of Jesus is this God's kingdom, which inspired, for example, Martin Luther King Jr. August 28, 1963, in Washington, D.C., when he said that speech, I have a dream. What he was touching precisely was this theme of God's kingdom. I have a dream of this country where blacks and whites and everyone get along. That is the dream of God, God's kingdom. It is not an abstract metaphysical thing. It is a concrete vision, a kingdom of truth and life, a kingdom of holiness and grace, of justice, love, and peace. It is the kingdom, for example, that Thomas Keating, who just died a couple of weeks ago, and he lived, for those of you who didn't know, Thomas Keating passed away 3 weeks ago. He's the one who taught about centering prayer. He was a monk. He didn't do like social justice thing, but for him, the kingdom of God was going inward, to practicing deep contemplative prayer that transformed our hearts. That was his way of creating the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was also what Oscar Romero preached and lived and died for in El Salvador. By the way, on Thursday at 1 p.m., I'm going to show a film about his life here in the parish hall. The dream of Jesus and the dream of so many women and men for social justice, for equality, for deep spiritual transformation, for compassion and care for this earth and all its inhabitants. A kingdom that starts in ourselves with healed and transformed minds and hearts. And how do we live this dream, this kingdom here on Orcas and here at Emmanuel, our church? This dream is huge, enormous. First of all, we need to acknowledge that this kingdom of God, this dream of God, is bigger than the church. Kingdom of God is not the church. Hopefully, we're in it. Hopefully, we're helping it. Sometimes I think we're more of an obstacle to, if those of you heard about this, the tragic story of this young man who went to the North Sentinel Island. I don't know if you heard about it. Things are just sort of like, poor guy who wanted to spread the gospel to these people who do not want any contact with people outside. Sadly, that is not what Christianity is about. The kingdom of God is much bigger than the church. The kingdom of God surpasses churches, Christianity, and even any religion. It is also not something to wait for only in this celestial realm beyond. It starts here. Many of you are already contributing to the kingdom of God. Those of you who volunteer with hearts and hands here at Orcus, you are creating the kingdom of God. You who help at the senior center, you are creating the kingdom of God. You who bring music that elevates our spirit with a choral society, you're bringing the kingdom of God. You who help with the arts and sports for our children and our community, you are making the kingdom of God visible. You who are fostering philanthropy on an island with the Orcas Island Community Foundation, OICF, you are creating the kingdom of God, the dream of God. Those who have direct help of the people in need with the OCRC, the Orcas Community Resource Center, the different schools, the food bank, the dinner kitchen, etc., 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 etc. These are ways in which the dream of God, the kingdom of God, becomes present in our midst. And Jesus once more tells us, let's open our eyes to discover the kingdom of God. It's in our midst. Here at Emmanuel, our vestry has selected three goals for this year to help us make more visible the kingdom of God amongst us. And we know this is just a drop of water in a sea of needs. But we acknowledge that don't bite off more than you can chew. So the three areas or goals the vestry has wanted to focus on, and we'll be talking about in our coffee hour, is first, God has many faces, and the love of God has many expressions. Emmanuel Parish seeks to offer varied opportunities, as well as our traditional worship services, to all who wish to join us on a journey of spiritual transformation. And we have several strategies to help us achieve that goal. One of them, they've asked me to celebrate every third Saturday of the month, a service which will be bilingual, that we'll try to integrate our Spanish-speaking congregants, our English-speaking congregants, and in a very simple service that is available to all. Our second goal, as stewards of the environment, we seek to protect and preserve our common home on Orcas Island in solidarity with local, regional, and global communities who care for our natural world. We just got a report from the U.S. government this past Friday, and it is pretty dire. Politicians or crazy religious fundamentalists cannot void the reality that is just facing our world. So the vestry, we need to do something about the environment. And there are several strategies that we want to do to try to help this this theme on this area of need. And the third one, we will nurture our church community by recognizing and responding to the needs of our parish family, the needs of our island community, and when called upon, the needs of our neighbors across the globe. Share our time, our talent, and treasure with our neighbors in need. And very specifically, the vestry asked me, I'll announce it, right? The vestry asked me that we dedicate next Sunday's, the first Sunday of the month, that is usually given the loose offering to the rector's discretionary fund, that we dedicate it to the people who are suffering because of the fires in North California. So we'll dedicate all of what we collect, we'll send it over to North Carolina, California. No, Carolina. Hopefully they're good. Okay? So these are three ways, three goals, which the vestry is saying, we're trying to make this dream of God, this reign of God visible in our midst, in our community. Small little way, small little grains of sand that hopefully all together will make a difference. So I encourage you as we end this year, of the church year, to think about this reign of God, to encourage you to continue helping whatever you do outside in the community, in social agencies, in social justice, in your political concerns, all of that is making the reign of God present. And even if you don't do big things, in your own life, in your meditation, in your prayer life, in your relationship with your loved one, these are the ways we make the dream of God present in our world. I invite you again during coffee hour to discuss these goals with a series of strategies proposed by our vestry, how we can achieve this dream of God in our midst. May God bless us. Amen.